Previously on the Death Saving Bros podcast. You can see the decaying body of Margaret.
Didn't we just see her, though, like the other day or yesterday morning, however long ago that was?
She's obviously been dead many weeks here.
There's definitely two of her, just like there's two of the Dean, Livia.
There's a whole lot of coincidences going on.
Coincidences.
But we don't have hard evidence that says it points any one person. But you're right, we have a dead body on our hands.
A missing student, Winona.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wait.
So Dean Tyson says, my assistant ran off to find someone who could cast Speak with Dead.
Here's an idea. Mabel, right?
Yes.
Since my character is so good at smell, maybe I can pick up her scent like a bloodhound.
It's a wild shape into an animal that smells better than an elephant can.
Wow.
You guys are going to have a sniff off.
There are speckles of blood that lead back into the tunnel that leads towards the Arcshine.
Like, are we actually going to follow this?
Yep.
Or should we go back?
Bear.
Bear's with me.
I guess if they want to stay on that.
Manny and Thad go back up. As you see Dean Swiftprints leaning over the dead body, and then suddenly Margaret snaps up. Margaret, what did you see before you died? Three horrid women. When did you die? The day before first term. What did the witches say before they killed you? Make it clean. I can't be found out. Emperor. And Margaret's body collapses backwards.
Looks like there's a leader, and then there's three shape-shifting witches of a sort.
At this point, there is nothing more that we can do, because clearly, Margaret was not a very good dead person to talk to. So you go hustling after Milo and Dixon. You're now inside the surge room, the basement of the Arcshine. You relocate the blood trail and follow it over to another wall.
So blood ends here. There's a wall in front of us, just like before. Should we try going through this wall?
Welcome to another episode of the Death Saving Bros podcast. I am your host and Dungeon Master, Paul Camper. With me today, I have Brad Richards.
What kind of bikes do girls ride? I'll just tell you, it's menstrual cycles.
Boo.
Thank you for that joke, B-Rich. Let's go over to Matt Smith.
What is a warlock's favorite alcohol? Patron.
Gosh, damn it.
El Patron, Ben Renfro.
I messed my pants on the way over here, and I'm just excited to be here right now, boys. That's all. See, nothing too bad this week.
I hope it wasn't a number two mess.
No, there's like tapioca sitting in my pants right now.
Oh, God, that's even worse. Why did I say anything?
One of those messes.
Why did you say anything?
That's way worse.
And our last host is Brad Renfro.
Why do cows wear bells? Because their horns don't work.
No. Damn it. That's so stupid.
I don't get it.
But it's funny.
Why do they wear belts? Because their horns don't work?
Bells.
Dingle,
bells,
dingle,
bells.
Dingle, dangle. Ring, ring.
Bell.
B-E.
Double L-L.
And see, horn can refer to either the horn on their head or a horn like a car horn.
Oh, I've goes, never wah, used wah, pull my horn
but
before.
But since their horn does not work, it can't go mwah, but then they have the bell around their neck to go ding.
Oh. Okay, I get it
Did
now.
It really we take that level about... of explanation?
No, I still thought we were talking about belts.
No, nothing that goes around your waist.
Guys, I just thought of two new penis names I haven't used. I haven't referred to it as my horn or my chain yet. Can you believe that?
Probably can, because we're only 23 episodes into this season. And with those wonderful intros, we might as well get a move on into the main part of our story. Because we are a 5th edition, actual play, Dungeons & Dragons podcast. So, What happened last time on our Death Saving Bros Dungeons & Dragons podcast is that our adventurers were escorted to the scene of the fight with Mabel and Margaret by Dean Tyson. And while they were there, they did some investigations and they discovered the dead body of Margaret. They used Speak with Dead, cast by Dean Adele Swift Prince, in order to speak with Margaret, and she was able to tell them that somebody was talking to the perpetrators that killed her right before Margaret was killed. She heard the words, "Keep it clean," and "Emperor." Meanwhile, while Thad and Manny were learning the little bit of information, the very, very little bit of information they could from the dead body of Margaret, Dixon and Milo went searching after a blood trail. They followed it along with their companions all the way back to the surge room of the Arkshine, where the blood stopped before a wall, not the wall, and they used the window patch to potentially open up whatever lies behind the wall. And that is where we will pick up today. So, without further ado, you look through the window patch that you placed up on the wall, and you see a passageway behind it.
All right, guys. Who wants to be first one through this?
I go.
It is high up off the ground. Remember, they said that they were going to put it at a stupid...
I have my slippers on. I have my slippers on that allow me to walk up walls.
Oh, well, Thad was going to hold his hand out to boost you.
I will walk up Thad's shell and down his arm to his hand to be boosted.
All right. As soon as he hits my hand, I don't lift him. I just like throw him, like
fling him,
shot put.
What is it? Caber tossing that they do in the Highlands. I caber toss him through the hole in the wall.
Just right on the corner of the wall, so he smokes and just crunches like an accordion, like the cartoons.
There is a chance I might miss.
I was gonna say,
roll for accuracy.
We could link arms like we're in a swimming pool getting ready to just absolutely launch somebody and just fucking throw Milo. Milo, make sure you have Toby with you for light if you're going first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. As he's flying through the air.
Yeah, throw Toby too.
Wait, don't we not have a light source now?
You're just totally calmly like flying through the hole in the wall? Yeah, okay, I'll bring Toby.
Let's go, Toby!
Yeah, we have Toby as a light source, and I also have my spear, which I have my infusion on, making it a radiant weapon, which is glowing light from it.
Okay, I thought you guys just threw our only light source.
And why do you guys need light source?
Because none of us have dark vision.
No, you do not. And I really want to find a way to fuck with you because of that, but we're not there yet. Haven't figured it out.
No, we have a sentient light source that befriended us.
Actually, this is a really good point. Hold on.
Christ.
Just shut your fucking mouth. Hold on.
Shut your fucking mouth.
I am going to use... Let me make sure I can do this. Hold on. I know I can have infusions known 6. Let me double check.
Is this before or after I'm thrown?
Oh, you're through. You're fucking thrown.
You have been through.
If you're going to use one of your infusions to make night goggles, don't worry about it. I'm not fucking with you because of your dark vision.
You knew exactly what I was looking to do, Paul. I was going to say, literally one of my... Because I have 6 infusions known, and one of them I do have listed for the 6 that I've prepared is the Replicate Magic item, and part of that is I could do Goggles of Night, so somebody has night vision goggles.
It's also not the first time I've used it.
It's not?
No.
What? Yeah, it's not the first time that you've talked about using it.
You really want to do this, Ben.
No, it's fine because, so I could have 3 things infused at a time. So right now I have my shield and my weapon. I don't think I have a 3rd thing currently infused, so I could have done that, but that's fine. Paul says we won't need it, but I swear to fuck, Paul, if we get into a position here very shortly, you're like, oh, Toby can't be out any longer, and all of a sudden, your spear doesn't light up, and we are all blind in the dark. I swear to fuck.
Does you understand how long it's been since I've said that and or heard that?
As I'm being thrown, though, can I, like, have a dodge action readied? In case there is something waiting for me.
Yeah, sure, I'll let you have a dodge action readied. And you know what? Go ahead and roll an acrobatics check just to see how well you land on the other side.
Yeah, what are you dodging? The ground?
Your torso goes through the hole. Your legs do not.
That's an 11.
Oh, no.
I think that's pretty good.
It's all right.
You tuck and roll your ankle.
Okay. You land wobbly on your feet, but you land on your feet. No injuries, no nothing. And you kind of pinwheeled through the hole in the wall when Thad launched you. But you land fine. Toby comes flying through as a streak of flame and then lands next to you in an animal form, I'm guessing.
No, this time he looks exactly like me.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
There's one normal Milo and one Milo just on fire. How am I supposed to know which one's the real Milo?
I'm small enough to be a creature that he can replicate, yes.
Just like a little Jack-Jack. And Toby lights up the space looking like a tiny flaming you, and you can see that this passageway goes only for about 50 feet before there is a staircase that leads up. You have landed about 15 feet into this space. Toby's light extends all the way to the foot of the staircase, and behind you is the hole in the wall, and you can see Manny's staff glowing beyond the window patch.
All right, Milo, pull me up.
We pull the hole down to normal level, and then we all just walk through normally after having to chuck Milo through.
Wait, that's fine. Great idea, Thad. I unstick it, restick it lower at normal people height.
Okay.
Manny tries climbing through, and then Thad just yanks it underneath him, and he...
Yeah, wait, what would happen in that instance if I was, like, standing halfway in the window patch, and then it just got removed?
You don't want to know.
I don't want to think about it.
Get bisected.
You'd be half the man you used to be.
Half the man I used to be.
All right, so Thad pulls it down, and we all go through it.
You are now in this 50-foot-long passageway before some stairs, and you cannot see exactly where the stairs go.
But it's like a completely empty room, nothing to investigate.
You do not see anything other than the stone paneling on either side that forms this passageway.
Is there blood on the floor?
Give me a survival check.
Fuck.
I guess I'm naturally just going to try to just continue on up the stairs.
And while he's doing that, I'm going to remove the window patch from the wall so that if anybody else comes this way, they don't see an open entrance.
It becomes pitch black in the room. You cannot see anything.
16.
Yes, you relocate the blood trail that you have been following, and you do see that it continues down this passageway and up the stairs. And as you're walking up the stairs, suddenly, Milo, I need you to give me a dexterity saving throw, please.
But I had my dodge action ready.
Oh, wait, no. You guys are lit. You're lighting up the space.
Yeah, we are.
Litty titties over here.
Milo just pulls out the keg from his pocket.
Let's just take a second to relax, boys.
You guys see that the staircase eventually leads up to a low ceiling, and there appears to be a latch on a metal-plated door.
I'm going to dangle from the latch until it pulls.
Okay, you do so, and you hear a nice, satisfying chunk, and the metal door appears to now be unlatched.
Amazing. You're an inspiration.
Very well, Milo.
Hi-ho!
Onward!
Onward!
This is a bad fucking Disney Pixar film.
Set the car into O for onward!
Okay, if you're proceeding forward, whoever is opening the door, I need a strength check. So, athletics.
I'm dangling from the latch.
All right, you're saying we need a strong person to do it, Thad.
All right.
I've got this! 5.
Good effort, Milo.
You realize that the metal grate is very, very heavy, and the fact that you even managed to unlatch it seems incredible to you.
Guys, it appears even that latch did nothing. This door is still locked.
I would like to assist Thad in opening the door. All right.
Does this door look... Wait, so is this like a door that's like directly above us?
Yes.
And we're trying to like pull it... Like Milo was trying to pull it down?
Sure, we'll say he was trying to pull it down.
No, I was dangling to pull it up.
Probably doesn't open down, but I'm going to grab Milo by the legs. He'd be like, hold on tight.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to yank down as hard as I can.
Dear God.
Just separates.
All right, is that a strength or a athletics? Or what are we doing here?
Athletics.
Is that a strength or a constitution saving throw for me?
You'll be rolling constitution saving throw for shoulder separation.
All right, that's going to be a 23.
Oh, Jesus.
Against his shoulders. And the connective tissue therein.
Yeah, you yank. Milo screeches.
Wahoo!
Attaboy.
All right, fucking Mario.
Why?
It becomes clear that you put quite a bit of force behind that. You're pretty sure the door does not swing inward.
All right, I'm immediately going to just shove in the opposite direction, still holding on to Milo's ankles.
And the door opens.
Should we roll?
I can't feel my arm.
See if his head goes through his ass.
I don't have arms. Oh, there they are.
You don't have a neck.
So the door glides open on well-oiled hinges.
Easily.
And it swings open, doesn't fall against the ground. It pauses at like 3/4 open, and the passageway is filled with light, and you can feel rain falling on your faces.
Oh my God, cover Toby.
Here comes the rain again. Falling on my head. Like a new emotion.
What color's the rain?
Well, considering that Dean Swift Prince is not there, it's clear.
Is it on fire?
It's not fire and it's not purple.
I'd say we're fine then. Just where are we?
Well, I can't see clearly now.
Guess we'll just have to wait till it's gone.
I look around, like, what's around?
Rain.
You're still in the hole.
No, I'm still trying to relocate one shoulder with a dislocated other shoulder.
Or is he still attached to the handle and is upside down right now, since the door is open?
Okay, well, that's a very funny mental image, so sure, I'll say that Milo is outside of the hole in the ground and has popped up on the surface. You can see, Milo, that you are now behind the Majizu, where you had your first day of class this year, and you managed to get a hold of a scale from the dragon wormlings.
Oh, like the arena?
It wasn't an arena. It was like a garden. If you've seen Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, how they're kind of... Or if you've played the Hogwarts Legacy game, and you kind of walk through a door, and then you open up into this wide open space that's magically there.
Yep.
That's what the Majizu is like. It's a bunch of little pockets of gardens. And so you went to the Majizu, you fought in this garden of wormlings, and now you are behind the large glass building that is the Majizu. You're surrounded by stacks of terracotta pots and bags of feed. You see a bunch of wet bags of grass clippings and hay off to one side. There's a couple of wheelbarrows, and you are just sitting there amongst all this detritus, and there's this metal grate in the ground.
And the blood?
Give me a survival check.
21.
You survived your search for the blood.
You start looking around, and you're trying to locate where the blood may have been or would have gone. You do not find it. If you had to take a guess, and you're pretty confident this is the answer, the blood was washed away by the rain. But you do notice, as you're looking around, that on the other side of the metal door that you just swung open, it is all stone. It does not look like a door at all. It looks like when this thing's closed, you can't see it.
Well, I guess I hold it open until everyone else gets through.
Was there anything else in, like, the hallway, or was this, like, the end of the hallway? There's the door at the top.
That's the answer. There's nothing there.
What if we put another wall patch at the end, and it just is another section of this tunnel system?
Tinker's going to keep going straight through. If you're not coming with me, then I'm just going to keep walking, boy.
Milo, just hold your horses, or Toby. Which Toby? Wait, does Toby actually look like you right now? And none of us made a comment on that.
Correct.
That is fucking scary.
I'm not sure which one of us you're talking to. Do you?
If there's ever a moment that Milo and Toby are separated, and Toby comes into the room to try to get our attention, like it was in the past, but it just looks like Milo on fire, I probably won't question it.
Or Milo sets himself on fire and walks into a room to look like Toby.
Like, hey guys, what the fuck? Toby can talk. No, that's fine. If that's all we see here, we could, I guess I climb through the hole in the ceiling.
It's kind of you to just look past this.
As do we all, I guess.
Okay, so you're all now outside of the passageway that you had found, and you do close the metal door, and you can see that, yes, it is in fact hidden. If you hadn't just come through the other side, you wouldn't have been able to discern that this is in fact a secret door that leads down into the ground.
Cool.
This is incredible. So is there like a person that said this was like a zoo area with the animals? Do we know of like who looks over the animals in like this area? Like
the zookeeper.
Yeah, do we know who the zookeeper is?
Or we can ask the wormlings. We have a rapport.
Talk to them like you did in episode one.
You do know who is in charge of the Magizoo. It's Dean Price. And Dean Price was actually the person that you first met on your first day, aka the first episode of this series.
Do you guys think that Dean Price knows about this secret tunnel right beneath his feet?
Well, I mean,
no.
Maybe not. Probably not. It's a secret. But I don't see any blood anywhere because of the rain. Are there footprints or anything we can follow or any sort of obvious trail? If we're in a forest area, you know, the old broken sticks and shit.
You have been looking around with your 21 survival check, and you don't see any footprints or broken twigs. To kind of orient yourself with where you're at, right now you are surrounded by a lot of stonework in the ground. There's not a whole lot of greenery. You walk a little bit further, and then you wind up reaching the horticultural fields, beyond which is a forest that is on the grounds of the Arkshine. And if you go the opposite direction, there is a walkway from the Magizoo, the front of the Magizoo, towards the Arkshine.
Looks like we've lost the trail, guys. Not sure how we want to proceed with this one. We could either try to go find somebody like Dean Tyson or Dean Prince or what was his name?
Price.
Price? Yeah. Too many similarities. We could let Dean Price know about this. See if we can get any information from him. Maybe he does know about this. Maybe not. Maybe he's a part of the bad guys. So we could ask Dean Price about it. We could go back and tell Dean Tyson about this. Or we can go back and do some housekeeping stuff. It is tiring out here today. Did not sleep well last night. It's already been a long day. So, my vote would be, since we don't have a trail, maybe we go for a midday nap and get caught up on some things.
Little nappy poo.
Little nappy poo.
I mean, is any of the other stuff that we want to go to on the way to our dorm?
I have everything I need. I mean, I don't know.
Is it like Dean Price's office? Is that on the way? Like, are the offices on the way to the dorm?
Most of the offices of the professors and the deans are within the Arkshine Tower itself. The only person that has an office separate from the Arkshine is Dean Livia. And hers is obviously in the infirmary.
Or we go find the wormlings. I bet they saw the trail.
I bet you they saw the sign and it opened up their eyes.
Worm sign.
That was more the direction I was thinking, unfortunately. So yeah, we're going to have to figure out what those other leads are.
How guys, are we going to talk to... Oh, never mind. I speak Draconic. Never mind.
Yeah. Like I said, guys, I could use a little nappy poo. I got some reading I could do with the books that I got from the desk and everything that Donnie had told us about. So...
You kissed a shapeshifter.
I blush.
you failed to close.
Why, guys, a shapeshifter.
Guys, why are we coming back to this right now? Why? What, like...
Yeah, we've been over this.
She could be anything you wanted, and all she was a disappointment.
What if, what if the shapeshifter is a baddie, and she is hotter than Winona was?
Well, how would you know that's the real form?
That's the thing. We don't know. Yeah, this is why I need to sleep, guys. I told you. When I'm tired, I say dumb shit. So, again, for the fourth time, guys, and I'm tired of saying this because I'm tired in general. My vote's the nappy poo and some reading. And I also can make us some new surges with stuff I've collected, too. So, I think that would all be beneficial. Guess cool with that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys aren't tired, I know you guys, I didn't sleep well last night. If you guys aren't tired and want to do something else, that's fine. Like, you don't need to sit around and watch me read, per se.
No, we're going to watch you sleep.
I mean, you could watch me sleep, then watch me read, and I'll tell you what I find, and then watch me make surges. That's all fine. I mean, we could just go hang out in the dorms, and you guys can sit out in the lobby. Maybe if Titus comes by, you bully him a little bit. We haven't done that in a while. Pay some Pyrax on the Pyrax table. Like, you guys could jerk each other off for all I care. I don't know. I just need to sleep.
Not into that.
Which part specifically?
It's the watching him sleep part, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That is kind of creepy, I guess. Yeah.
Guys, we don't need Milo for this anymore. We have Toby that looks like Milo on fire. Like,
which one's Milo?
Which one of us do you want to go with you? Choose now!
Shoot the real Milo. Ah!
Toby is looking very sad right now because you are all wet.
How would he know the state of my arousal?
This is stupid, guys. I'm going to bed. And I start marching off for the dorm.
I'm going to tell Toby he can go away, and I will go too.
You just hear...
Sounds like squiddy feet.
Okay. So you guys start marching back towards the Arkshine behind the very tired and upset Manny. And as you make your way around the front of the Majazoo, you can see that the Majazoo has, like, police tape on it and a sign that says, "Due to ongoing circumstances regarding the safety of students, the Majazoo is closed to all student access until further notice."
Well, that makes me naturally want to have access to it.
And Manny continues on towards the Arkshine. Hello, everyone. I hope that the warm weather and sunshine is finally coming your way. If not, then I'm a poor substitute, but as your DM, Paul, I'll try to bring some warmth and at least some announcements. Good news is that we are currently working on some new design ideas for merchandise on our Redbubble store. This includes new band t-shirts from Dixon's music playlist, so if you would like to see a specific band, let us know and we'll add it to the list of new designs. For now, though, you can find all the current character art, logos, and quotes that are currently available to get printed on t-shirts, bags, and more by searching Death Saving Bros at redbubble.com. We also have new and upcoming stuff available on our Patreon. Recently, we were able to work on our archives, which contain backstories on characters from Ralvaria. Our newest post is about Gooch Gleesgorm, a goblin NPC from Campaign 1. We'll also be posting another blurb next Friday, April 26th, 2024, about Wilhelmina and Roscoe, who were two of the main NPCs from the first 25 episodes of our entire show. Big shout out to Ryan Cushman for suggesting that topic. So, if you have been yearning to learn more about our world, head over to patreon.com/deathsavingbros. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your suggestions for future articles. Now, with all this new stuff that I just announced, I must also say that any other additional new stuff might take some time before coming out. That is because my schedule and the schedules of the other hosts have become increasingly full as the year has gone on. I'm actually at the point now that I don't think I'll be able to get Arcshine episode 24, or even potentially 25, out on our regular bi-weekly release. Because I can't guarantee proper turnaround, I wanted to get ahead of the ball. Instead of leaving you hanging or putting out a last-minute social media post, I have decided to go ahead and adjust our schedule and put 3 weeks in between each of the next 2 episodes. This will give us time to craft compelling, high-quality episodes and deliver them on a set date. It should also get us out of the hairiest sections of our schedule commitments so that we can return to the bi-weekly release. So, with the temporary release schedule, that means that episode 24 will now be posting May 7th, and as of right now, episode 25 will be planned to post on May 28th. I sincerely trust that all you loyal listeners can understand our desire to continue providing amazing adventures at our table while still balancing everything else in our lives. We thank you for your patience, and I look forward to touching base again with you in early May. And while I'm giving out thanks, I have to give a special thank you to our patrons. Those who have joined our Patreon at the $5 tier get a shout-out at the end of the show, but the following individuals have pledged to support us financially at the $10 tier or higher, so they get their supporter shout-out right now. Ryan Cushman, Gene L. Jackson, and Gavin Knox. Thank you all for your support. Again, episode 24 is now on our temporary release and will come out May 7th. Best wishes to you all, and I'll see you sooner than you think. Without further ado, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Eventually, you wind up making it undercover, out of the rain. Water is dripping off of your clothes and pooling on your feet on the marble stones of the Arcthanium entryway. And as you're making your way across the atrium, you see Titus come down off of the main staircase, and he just glares at you as he starts walking away.
I pretend not to see him.
Hold me back.
Why don't we just kill him?
Because he's alive in a future Patreon thing. Once that passes the timeline, then he's fair game.
How close by did he walk by us, or was it like at a distance?
Yeah, how close is he? Because this will determine how I fuck with him.
He is keeping his distance from you. There's that fountain in the middle of the atrium with the different house symbols. And if you're passing on one side, he's making sure to pass on the other side. And he's just staring you down.
Can I draw my longsword?
Sure.
And a hand axe.
Can I sneak a magical bean into his bag that turns into a random animal? I can use that fountain as quite a good bit of cover.
I can make myself invisible and drop the bean in there for you.
Oh, you want a bean?
It's actually not a bean. It's a ball of fur.
Manny, you want a fur ball?
Ew. Milo, don't ever say that to me again. Is he wearing any metal on him at any place, like a ring, a necklace, a belt buckle? Maybe just a full shirt or pants of metal? Who knows?
Perhaps a chastity belt.
Sure, he's wearing a couple of rings on his finger.
Ooh, I'd like to heat metal just to make him burn his hands.
Okay, so I'm not doing my thing?
You can do your thing.
I'll do my thing.
Do the thing.
Okay, how are you going to do your thing?
Very stealthily.
Nice.
I need you to roll stealth for me.
I'm gonna like crawl on the floor and shit.
Is there anything in the future episode about him not having a hand or fingers? Or...
I mean, not explicitly.
Okay, cool.
Meanwhile, heat metal, that is...
It's a level 2 spell. It says, choose a manufactured metal object, such as a metal weapon or suit of heavy or medium metal armor, as, you know, examples that you can see within range. I cause the object to glow red hot
Any creature in physical contact with the option with the object takes 2d8 fire damage when you cast the spell until it ends. I can keep using bonus actions to cause it again and again and again.
And must take a constitution saving throw or drop the object if it can.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, I'm just going to do it as a quick burn. I'm not going to sit there and just keep concentrating and burning him over and over and over again until he
just going to dies from... Just going to murder Titus?
Dies from, like, hand burns.
Watch,
like,
watch.
Not...
I actually caught him limping his way back from the infirmary, and he only has, like, 2d8 hit points left.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? If he goes down...
Maybe I don't sneak my thing into his bag, depending on how this goes.
I will be honest right now, because I haven't long rested and stuff. I don't know what my surge slots look like.
Your surges replenish at dawn, so those are good to go.
Beautiful. And I do have a level 2 surge with one slot, so seems like a good time to use it.
I rolled a 25, by the way.
Okay. Do you have enough spell slots in order to cast a spell? Because you did not regain spell slots... because you did not rest.
We did get a rest in. Oh, wait, he did not.
I'm trying to think. I'm looking at my level 2. I have one level 2 spell slot. I don't think I've used any of these since in a while, but I also don't know game time because we've been on this rest for like 8 episodes.
What are the spells?
Well, the only one I can think of, did I enlarge?
Yes.
You enlarged yourself.
Yeah, I know I used Enlarge. Have I slept since I've used Enlarge?
No.
Hold on, just let me confirm, too, when we leveled up again that...
Hold on, I have slept, so you just, before I sneak off, I'm gonna hand you my surge and just give you a little, hey,
you owe me one.
And sneaky. I rolled a 25, by the way.
Okay. We're 9th level right now?
Yes.
Oh, I should have 3 second level spell slots. I have not updated that. Oh, that's listed as surges. Yeah, I should have 3 second level spell slots, so I think we should be good.
Okay.
Because I have heat metal enlarge, which I heat metal against those like gooey things on the grates when we were in the infirmary, and I've enlarged.
Okay, so you have 1 spell slot left.
That's how long ago we're keeping track. That's how long our rest
I think
has been.
Since we've started this campaign, I've rested once.
Twice?
Yeah. Believe it or not, you guys take a long time to do things.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
No,
so,
we don't.
Yeah, I want to say, I do truly believe, without trying to cheese you, that I have 1 level 2 spell slot left.
And because your surgery upped at dawn, you can go ahead and cast that without rolling your magical focus. So roll damage on Titus. And then, Milo, you rolled your 28 for sneak, right? Or was it 25?
25.
Okay, you rolled a 25 to stealth around the fountain. You drop down, and you start making your way around the fountain as Manny is casting this spell. And as you're about halfway between you guys and Titus, you hear him yelp as he takes how much damage?
Hold on, I also want to make sure. I'm practicing this because I've never really used this mechanic on my feet, which I should be doing more of, but... If I use, like, alchemist supplies when casting it, I get to also restore HPs to myself or deal certain types of elemental damages on top of it. But just because I never, like, say that I'm casting these spells with alchemist supplies, I'd like to say I'm casting this using alchemist supplies in order so that I could get some HPs back.
Okay, so alchemical supplies, I believe that applies anytime you cast a spell that requires material components.
Which. Technically, this does.
All right.
It requires the material of iron.
He needs the ring.
Hold on. A piece of iron and a flame. I could do that.
Okay. So then, yes, you can go ahead and apply your feat in this case. Or your special ability.
Yeah, I just don't know how I've ever, like... Like, I just don't understand how I could be, like, I'm using these, like, beakers and stuff to, like, heat metal on a person... on the other side of the fountain. Like, I don't... That's where I've always struggled with, like, the flavor text or, like, the description to say, like, how I'm using alchemist supplies to cast heat metal on Titus, who's 30 feet away.
You see me mix a little pot and everything, and you do a little chant, and then you can see, like, a little, like, if it's heat metal, like, a little orange, like, glow comes out from your mixture and like snakes across the floor and then wraps up to his ring.
Yeah, Brad is exactly right.
So I figured he would just mix in a beaker and chuck the fucking beaker at him.
Well, I don't want him to. So here's the thing. I want to draw no attention to the fact that I'm doing this because we're like all just casually squishing by, you know, and I just want to keep walking and not even look at him. Just as we're walking, I just want to like hear him yelp in the background because he's burning.
Well, he wouldn't notice if you turn around and heaved a fucking glass full of liquid at him.
You're right. You're right.
I imagine if you're trying to make it surreptitious, then you would do it kind of like a voodoo doll and you're just holding it down at your side and you light the flame, heat up the metal while also pointing at him over like off to the side.
That's cool. Yeah, so I do that. I rolled 2 sevens on the 2d8, so that's 14 damage and I get 4 HPs back.
I don't decide to fuck with him because that kind of sounds like that hurt.
Okay, yeah, you hear, ah, god damn it!
I see, like, actual smoke come off of his hand. I'm like, all right.
I still want to try to kill him.
As Titus grips his hand, turns around, and is just standing there looking across the fountain at you as you're walking away, saying, I've already heard that your favorite professor has been confined to quarters. Serves him right, serves all you right. I know what you're up to. I know that you're up to no good.
I charge him. Oh, we're not fucking around. This dude's gonna die or run away.
He runs away.
Dixon.
I holster my weapons.
You know what?
That settles
that. I don't know why he started yelling in the first place and why he was so upset, but I like what you did there, Dixon. And I like how you guys have all, just because he was my enemy, have taken it upon yourselves as a team here to hate him just as much.
He's insulted me, too, because he's grouped me in with you.
I'm sorry that you guys, I don't want to say, are getting the wrath of Titus by being my friend, because it's a pretty weak wrath.
Doesn't really do anything.
But I'm sorry that you guys have an enemy because of me. But I appreciate the way that you guys, especially you, Dixon, you've come a long way since day one. When we were on the same piece of paper together for the group, you wouldn't even talk to us. You pretended like you were not in our group. And now you're chasing down Titus for us.
Yeah, I guess he should have tried to pick his pockets instead of put something into them.
Like a whole, like, weight displacement? You, like, take something out and put something
just,
else in?
No, just take.
I mean, you should have just done both, but I'm just saying, I appreciate you guys.
This is an Indiana Jones with in his pocket. I don't think he's going to be that noticeable of the weight distribution of a couple whatever's in his pocket over this guy charging at him.
Just, I appreciate you guys, that's all.
He could have been a shapeshifter.
So, does that mean I can put my hammock up in your trunk?
What? No.
Is that a euphemism?
What?
Is that code for something?
I do not want you, like, dangling between my tusks.
I made this specifically for your measurements.
Yeah, but you're not gonna, like, sit dangling between my tusks. That would put you at, like, mouth level, and even if you were just, like, hanging lower, that's just uncomfortable for everybody.
Just don't eat me.
You're not going there.
As you guys are sitting there, first getting to feel really buddy-buddy, but then arguing as you always do, the doors to the front of the Arcshine open, and you can see three people enter out of the rain, and one of them is Nora.
Who?
Shapeshifters! Three of them!
Who the hell's Nora?
The girl that kept waking us up every morning.
Yeah, our hall mate or whatever.
Is she a shapeshifter?
I mean, she's in a group of three.
There are three people.
So, they must be shapeshifters.
I draw my longsword again.
I say, hello, Emperor!
Nora calls back, Milo! What? Emperor, what? You know me. It's Nora. I'm glad to see that you guys are okay.
Does she seem flustered at the mention of the word Emperor?
Give me an insight check.
I'm also being insightful. Nat 20. What were you going to say, Matt?
I was going to say 14.
Oh, no.
B-Rich, did you roll and hat 20?
I did, because I was also being insightful, because I currently am in possession of my longsword in my hand based on the amount of shapeshifters around this area.
I said it for a reason, and it was an 18.
I'm too tired to be insightful.
Okay, all three of you that are trying to discern Nora's intentions, she seems flustered, but only because Dixon has a longsword drawn, and because you can see that she is with two people that have hospital wristbands on.
I mean, that's fair.
They're not flustered at the mention of the Emperor. They are flustered because they seem to have just gotten out of the infirmary.
Oh my gosh. Did you guys just get out of the infirmary?
Smooth.
Yeah.
Are you guys okay? What happened?
Yeah, I'm okay, but I just went and picked up my friends. They were both sick. They developed the cough, had the fever, and Dean Livia is saying that the students are getting better, so I wanted to go see, and they're letting them out one by one. My friends, Mary and Todd, are okay.
Hi, Mary, I'm Manny.
It's Nora.
She's got the...
It's the wrong one.
No, there's Nora, and she said my friends Mary and Todd. She's with Mary and Todd.
Okay.
Mary's got the wristband and the grippy socks. Dixon knows what I'm talking about. Manny doesn't. I low bones Dixon.
Mary waves back at you and says, "Hi, Manny. It's nice to meet you. Nora just said I'm Mary." And you can see that Mary is a dragonborn. She is a black dragonborn, and she has tiny little curly Q horns.
No, I Todd and Nora and Dixon. It's my friend Dixon. Dixon side you, side her. Dixon side her.
Dixon side you.
What a wingman.
And I hold out the low bones. Do I get it back?
Just obviously.
I just look at him.
I turn blatantly to you and hold up a high five.
Put your hand down.
And I give myself high five.
Mary leans over and whispers in Nora's ear, and you can hear her say, "Yeah, yeah, I know."
What was that?
I have big ass ears. What'd they say?
You did not hear. You just heard what Nora said. But Todd just like gives you a little salute and then says, "Nora, I'm going to head upstairs. It's been a long couple days. I don't remember it. I was in a coma, apparently, but, you know, guess that's the joys of being at the Arkshine. Ha ha, ha ha. I want to go sleep." And he goes upstairs.
Yeah, isn't that right?
He looks over his shoulder at you. And Todd is a human with a hipster bun. And he just heads upstairs.
I don't like him.
Hipster bun, we'll have to bully him later.
I'm noting it.
Anyways, yeah, happy to see that people are waking up from the comas and stuff. It's good to see you're doing okay, and that Nora, you've managed to still avoid getting sick.
Suspiciously.
Yeah, yeah, that was... I mean, I'm happy, but it's so weird. I still don't understand how I managed not to get sick when so many other people did.
Us too. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know if you've heard, but Titus has been spreading a lot of rumors about you.
Is Titus still in view of us? Like, is he still walking across the courtyard?
No, he ran away.
Ah, dang.
Yeah, he ran out the back door.
Lucky for him.
Lucky for him.
Yeah, Titus has never really liked us too much. I think he's a little jealous that, well... Started off, I was doing better than him in class, and he didn't like that, and, well, he doesn't really like my friends either.
Titus is a baby back bitch, is what he is.
I mean, he's been saying that you guys are the only ones that didn't get sick, your entire group, and that you're Professor Fackham's favorite, and that's why you didn't get sick when everybody else had somebody get sick. And, I mean, now that everybody's been hearing that Professor Kane is under investigation and he's been confined to his rooms, I I don't know. People are starting to think the worst of you guys.
Hmm.
I mean, not me, of course. I know that you guys are just you.
Yeah, statistically speaking, it would be improbable for there not to be a group where everyone doesn't get sick. See, Thaddeus remembers things from his classes. He knows how the numbers work sometimes.
Awesome job, Thad. That's right. And, Nora, we do appreciate you understanding that. I mean, we're not doing anything. Obviously, at, you know, Fackham being under investigation, we don't love that either. You know, we don't trust him fully until we know what comes of that. And, you know,
I mean, do you think that he did it?
Did what?
We know that he broke a vase.
Yeah, we did see that happen. So,
you're right. Broke that really nice vase. Asshole. But are you asking if we think that Fackham is responsible for people getting sick? Is that what you mean by, like, did it?
Yeah, that's the rumor going around.
I don't know. Like we've said, we haven't really been involved in much. We've just been trying not to get sick.
Well, again, this is just the rumor that Titus is saying, but he said that you guys were working with him on the surge in the basement, and I don't know, do you know anything that... Because wasn't it something about a surge that made everybody sick?
Oh, no.
Titus is spreading a lot of baseless rumors. Seems kind of suspicious, don't you think? And I'm just blatantly trying to convince her that Titus did it.
He did just run out of here.
Give me a persuasion check, then, Thad.
Yes. I would like to use inspiration.
Hold on. What would you roll? I might be able to help you.
Not good.
Would an extra 4 to your roll really make a difference?
No.
Would it even get it to double digits?
It would not.
Oh, Jesus. Right,
yeah, never mind. I won't use this ability.
Okay.
I would like to use inspiration. I really want to pin this on Titus.
Okay.
It is a total jack move.
Oh my god.
Is it better?
Lie.
It's considerably worse.
Add 4 to it on me.
Well, the best one will be a 9.
Oh, Jesus.
With the 4 added to it?
Yes.
And just so everybody knows mechanic-wise, I guess I can do this. It's called Flash of Genius.
You flash him.
When me or another creature within 30 feet makes an ability check or saving throw, I can use a reaction to add my intelligent modifier to that roll. So I could just make us do better with ability checks or saving throws up to my intelligence modifier per long rest.
I also have enhance ability.
How much more can you bring it up? I've already given him 4.
Well, it depends on which one I choose.
Gotta be the Riz.
Advantage on charisma checks.
There
advantage
we go.
On advantage on charisma checks.
Yes, but you already have advantage from using inspiration, so it wouldn't add anything.
But what about second advantage?
Yeah, like what if he had rolled, but then he rolled again for the initial advantage, and then he still fucked up, so then he used inspiration.
No. His roll's a 9.
Can I take a mulligan?
Just LOU1, DM.
You wind up trying to kind of lead into, oh, well, maybe Titus is the one telling lies around here. And even as you say that, Nora doesn't seem to think that he did it. You can clearly tell that, but she does say in response, well, now that you mention it, you guys said that you were off campus, right? You said that in class yesterday. Oh, gosh, that really was yesterday.
Yeah.
What's it to you?
It's been a long few days.
But yeah, you said that in class yesterday, right? That you were out of, not even on campus?
Yeah, to your point, you know, we did try to pick up some extra credit to
extra
help
credit.
Fackham with the surge, but in trying to, like, go and offer ourselves to help, we did have to leave campus, so we weren't even around. So, yeah, we weren't even seeing anything that Fackham was doing with the surge, and we were off campus completely, so I don't know.
Well, that same day that you guys were gone, Titus was gone, too.
Really?
Really?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, actually, I wonder if not being close enough to the Arc Shine is why those of us that didn't get sick didn't get sick, because I actually went outside of the grounds to meet a courier who was sending some of my favorite chocolates from my mom, who lives in Principium. So I was gone for about a half hour off campus. I wonder if that's when something went wrong.
Half hour when? Half hour when?
Well, let's
see. Do you recall? Yeah, because we were gone the full day, roughly. So do you recall what time you were off campus? Because that could make sense.
And then we backtracked that with the medical logs at the hospital and food checked in where?
Yes, Milo. Well, let's see. The day that you guys were gone from class, I remember because Winona was asking about you, Manny, because she wanted to
give you...
about
me? What'd she ask?
Oh, she said that you asked her to take some notes for her.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's right.
And that's all she asked about?
Well, yeah, Winona and I aren't that close.
Right. Okay, anyways.
You know, well, Manny likes Winona. Well, Manny.
Nora's eyebrows shoot up and Mary kind of sniggers.
I blush and I take my big floppy ears and I kind of like cover some of my face with it.
Well, if she winds up, I know she's sick too, so if I see her and she asks about you, I'll make sure to let her know that you're looking for those notes, Manny.
Thank you very much!
And give her this, and I pull out a chocolate bar from my pocket.
It's melted.
It's...
Who's the chocolate bar for?
It's the wrapper that's just, like, squishy and...
It's for Winona, but she has to give it to Winona to say it's for Manny. And that he hopes she gets better.
Milo, I appreciate the gesture, but I don't want to give her melted chocolate.
It's not melted.
It's pretty melty.
It's...
Your pockets are warm.
No, they're not.
Unreasonably warm.
Why are they so hot?
Why are you feeling my pockets?
Anyways. Yeah, just... No, that's fine. Just... I appreciate you, Nora, putting in words for Manfred. Me,
you're definitely
Manny.
Having a stroke over there, huh?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Manny.
I'm tired, okay? I get it. I'm sleepy.
Anywho, I mean, to answer your question, though, I went after class that day, so probably 5 o'clock, the day that you were gone. So I don't know if that helps at all, but I'm going to go ahead and take Mary upstairs, make sure that she gets settled back in, and then we'll get ready for class tomorrow. Hopefully you guys will be there, and I know that Professor Kane is still going to be giving a lecture, so I don't know, maybe since you guys are apparently his favorites, or at least that's the rumor, maybe you guys can talk to him about something. You know, where was he? What was he doing? Because, I don't know, things are weird. You would think that the teachers would have a better handle on what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, we've been thinking the same thing. But yeah, it was good seeing you, Nora. We'll let you know if we figure anything out. And Mary, it was good to meet you. Happy to know you are well.
Yeah, okay, Manny. It's nice to meet you too. And as Mary and Nora walk away, Manny, give me a perception check.
So, yeah, because I forgot that I could do the Flash of Genius where I add things to ability checks, I know that I'm on my way to take a long rest, so I am burning through these. That is a non-natural 20.
Okay. You glance over as they're walking away, and you can see that Mary looks back over her shoulder and is smiling at you. Not, like, at you, but more at, like, the idea of the joke or, like, the...
Of you.
She's not laughing at you. She's smiling at you.
Wait, Mary is?
Goodness gracious. My trunk goes erect, but hopefully she has already turned back away.
Yes, she has turned away.
He's going to get erect for every girl that looks at
you? His trunk is erect?
Yeah, I'm blushing and my trunk's erect. Like,
I string up that hammock while you can't see.
Manfred has gone his whole life without women looking at him.
Did you hear me, Ben? I string up that hammock while you can't see because your trunk's in the way of your eyes.
What? Why are you so set on trying to hang right along like the edge of my upper lip? Like,
it's warm.
No, that does not happen. I immediately know when you touch my tusk and I fucking shake that off.
It's gotta be awkward with that trunk in the air, though.
It goes away. Immediately. It goes from erect to droopy, and it just fucking crashes through you.
Actually, it'll lay across the hammock and just kind of be strung.
No, do I use it as a blanket?
This is not a thing that's happening. I'm just saying that right now. It's not like it's that big of a space either.
It's all right. I'm not that big of a guy.
Oh, my God.
Let's continue.
Agreed.
Where do you guys want to go? Do you want to continue on up to your dorm to take to get the nappy poo?
A nappy poo with nobody else in the room.
All right. So you guys head on upstairs. You make it to your dorm rooms. And you kind of settle in for the rest of the day to recuperate, maybe catch up on some lost sleep, maybe do some studying before you actually get back to classes again the next day. Manny, are you going to sleep right now, or are you going to study and then go to sleep?
I would like to first sleep, because I am too tired to retain the information that I would even try to read.
Quitter.
So that's what I'm trying to do, is sleep, long rest. And then when I wake up, I would like to read, and I would like to make surges. I believe I have all the equipment I need in the room, and I have a bunch of magical materials I've been collecting, and I know how to make surges, so I would like to do that at some point whenever you allow me to have that moment. But the order of priority is sleep, read, surges.
My order of priority is, while he's sleeping, I am unarranging his books from alphabetical order into chaos.
Why do you create anarchy?
Anarchy! I don't know what it means, but I like it.
I can't read. I can't read.
While Manny is sleeping, I would like to polish my weapon and then also clean my firearms.
Boom!
Okay. And Dixon, what are you going to be doing?
Sharpening my knives.
Okay.
Gently. Passionately. Sensually.
So, everybody, aside from Manny, is not studying. Good.
Yeah, studying's for nerds.
Yeah, what am I, a nerd?
That's why they leave it up to me. Studying's for Manny's.
Okay.
Oh, I do have that eye pen, and I keep forgetting to look at.
Well, you all wind up finishing out the rest of the day, and Manny, you sleep well into the evening. You wake up for a little bit, and you think, you could probably go back to sleep, so you do so. At that point, everybody else is also sleeping. You do get a long rest, Manny, so go ahead and re-up everything.
Woot woot!
But during the actual night, you have terrible nightmares again. And you wind up waking up at like 1, 2 in the morning, and you just cannot get back to sleep again. Terrible nightmares. You know that if you had not slept earlier in the day, you would not have been able to get a good night's sleep. You keep visioning Winona on the table, getting injected with the purple syringe of goo, and you can see witches dancing around in your head, and you have surges going off, exploding in your mind, and it's chaos. So from the wee hours of the morning until it's time to wake up around dawn, you start studying the books that you've taken from your previous lecture, which include the book on Morinbel, the book on eye symbols in the history of Ralvaria, and, well, you actually got a whole stack of things on top of that. Go ahead and give me an investigation check with advantage to see how much information you're able to gather overnight.
With advantage lands me at a 26.
Okay. You wind up gathering quite a bit of information. You are able to gather that the community of Morinbel, that there were a lot of technological and wizarding advances, but at some point there was a magical experiment that went wrong. In terms of modern day scenarios, it's almost like an atom bomb went off in the middle of the wizarding community. Everything was destroyed. There are a crazy amount of really dangerous and exotic and mutated magical creatures that live in that area now. And there is rumored to be some sort of disturbance in the weave in that area, that whatever magical experiment happened, it just tore apart the very fabric of magic itself in that area. So people have been trying to go and take a look and get readings and figure out exactly what happened. But anytime they go, weird shit happens and nobody is quite clear on what is going on still in that area. But there is a lot of really high level magic that can be gathered from Morinbel. Additionally, you wind up coming across a passage that talks about how Morinbel was able to take elements from magical creatures and strip the magic from those magical elements, whether they were alive or dead, which you think is what Donnie was referring to when he said that you should go talk to Morinbel. Because right now you only know how to take elements of alive creatures and use them in surges. It might be possible with some more investigation to take dead animal bits and turn them into surges.
Well, I know what to do next.
It's an awesome amount of information. Man, it would have been nice if we read these books like months ago in real lifetime, like yesterday in game time.
So considering that you guys still don't know how to transform dead creature bits into surges, you're only able to use the living elements that you have on hand, which include griffin feathers, I believe. I think that's the only thing that you currently have that was taken from a live being.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. The Grick stuff doesn't work. The Beedrill stuff doesn't work. The Hellhound stuff doesn't work. Ay, ay, ay.
But I will say that because you had a full 8 hours and you were able to create a working surge in Professor Kane's class within an hour, you are able to get another 3 surges done that all have 2 level 1 spell slots. And you'll be able to distribute those in the morning. But as dawn approaches, you have reached the end of what you can theoretically do before class, and you are ready now for a new day.
Did I read anything in the like Book of Symbols or anything like that that would explain more about the eye pendant too, or was I mostly just on the rise and desolation of the wizarding community, Morinbel?
You were mostly on the rise and desolation of Morinbel, because the symbols of eyes, like I said when you first got it, there are so many symbols of all sorts of different eyes that you realized that it was going to take a whole lot longer to get through that. So you switched over to Morinbel, and if you want to keep studying the eye thing, you might get something from it eventually, but right now, it's so dense that you couldn't get through it. Not in one night.
Cool, got it.
And with all of that information, I believe that we are going to go ahead and end this episode, starting the next one on a new day, right before you're ready for class. And
longly rested.
You'll all be well rested, exactly. And when did you guys level up last?
3 episodes ago.
Fuck if I know.
Okay, yeah, I think it was pretty recent.
Way too long ago. Give us another level.
No, it was pretty recent. It was right after you guys got out of the bar and dealt with Winona and whatnot. So we'll go ahead and leave you at level 9 for now. Maybe you'll level up after you go to class again.
But we defeated Titus. Think of all the things we've accomplished.
You have accomplished a lot, and that
we added someone new to the Smasher Pass board.
Todd,
specifically. And then, yeah, I guess all the information that Manny found, but
but that seems less relevant in this moment.
Oh, yeah, actually, let's go ahead and find a cliffhanger. And with all this information that Manny learned, will he or will he not share it with the group? Who knows? Next time on the Death Saving Bros podcast. Anywho.
He will, because he's a nerd.
Nerd!
To all those of you who are listening, we hope that you enjoyed getting back to the Arkshine and finding out some other threads that our adventurers can pull on as they continue to investigate the mysteries going on at the Arkshine. If you are looking for some more content and jokes and humor and adventure, then head over to patreon.com/deathsavingbros, where we have bloopers, extra episodes, and conversational recaps of the main storyline. You can keep in touch with us on social media in between episodes by following @DeathSavingBros on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. I am personally available @HBCamper.
You can find me @BenFro15.
You can find me at @ima_b_rad.
You can follow the Reddit.
You can find me on the PlayStation Network as FATT-Smith.
And to all those of you who are listening in your cars, in your homes, or wherever you may be, keep saving those death throes, and we'll see you on the next one. This episode was made possible by our patrons. The following individuals have pledged at the $5 tier. Tad Corsi, thank you for your support. Some of the sounds and background music in this production are copyright material. The song, The Dangerous Dole Olivia, is by Ivan Duke. This track is used with permission, all rights reserved.